What is
biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transformed. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and it is a privilege to be your host. And today we're talking about two different types of husbands. One is a Mojave man, and one is a Maui man. Malikimikulaku. So what am I talking about, first of all? Well, if you have a Bible, and I hope that you do, grab it, open up to Ephesians 5. One of the habits that I'll encourage you to get into is just using your hard copy Bible. Your phone works on the fly as like a plan C, but you know with your phone it's hard to actually in-depth study the Bible. So find a good study Bible, go all in on a good Bible, invest in it, use it over and over. So grab that Bible and let's go to Ephesians 5. Okay, you're familiar with this. In verse 25, it says, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her." Verse 28, so husbands ought also to love their own wives as their own bodies. Verse 29, this is the focus. "For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ also does the church." I want to talk about this idea of a husband nourishing and cherishing his wife. What does it mean to nourish? Well, I mean, technically, Paul says that men do this already, but they do it to their own body. So they provide food for. Nourish, think of it in that way. You feed, you nourish, you kept well-fed, refreshed. That's this idea of nourishing. So most translations are just going to say that nourish, as opposed to emaciated, underfed, starving, you're nourished. You ever had a good meal? That's the idea. It's like you're satisfied, nourished. Cherished could also be translated as comfort. So a husband cherishes and he nourishes, he comforts, he attends to, he cares for his wife, just like he does himself in this context. I want this to help create two different categories for you. And I know there are different shades. You're not either one all the time or either the other all the time. But I want you to think of the presence of a husband in his home. He's to love his wife, but he's also to be nourishing of her, caring for her. He's to strengthen her. He's to provide an effect like eating a good meal, where he's refreshing. He is satisfying, not in a weird way, but he just brings a level of enjoyment, levity, satisfaction, refreshment to the home. That's what I'm getting at with this idea of his presence in the home. So I want you to imagine with me a beautiful flower. I often think of Gerber daisies. They're very bright. Sunflowers, they're very beautiful to me. Let's see what else. Roses. We have the privilege of having rose bushes in our backyard here in Southern California. So roses. So imagine that I were to take that beautiful Gerber daisy. It's just this blooming flower. It looks red, yellow, purple. You take that beautiful flower, and then I go put that flower out in the Mojave Desert. If you've never been in the Mojave Desert, you ain't missing much. Just think of rocks, dirt slash sand, small little mesquite bushes. I didn't even see trees last time we were out there. We went on a guy's camping trip last year to the Mojave. It's hot. It's difficult to live there. No water. It's arid. I mean, it's just awful. So you take that beautiful Gerber daisy and you put it out in the Mojave Desert. Though that Gerber daisy was beautiful at one point, what will happen is it will slowly start to shrivel up because it's hot. There's no water. There's direct sunlight. The ground is bad. Some men are like that, just to be clear. Their wife used to be vibrant, beautiful, fun, enjoyable, healthy. She didn't have all these gastrointestinal issues. She wasn't losing hair. She took care of herself. And living with him is like living in the Mojave Desert. He's unpleasant. He has no sense of humor, hypercritical. inconsistent or bad financial provider. It doesn't mean that they're not millionaires. It just means that he gets fired, restarts, or maybe he's just not even getting a job overall. He's argumentative. He's unattractive. He doesn't care for himself. No stewardship of his body. He's absent from the kids. And he's not serving in his local church. That is the Mojave man. Doesn't that sound awful? Unpleasant, no sense of humor, absent, not serving in his church, argumentative. You take a beautiful flower and you have that beautiful flower live with this man. And he's just a pressure. He's a pressure. Not every man makes his wife do something. So just to be clear, you can't make her something, but he's adding to the pressure of her life. He is the Mojave man. Or, have you guys ever been to Hawaii? I've had the privilege of getting to Oahu and Maui, and I think that's all. So I had the layover one time in Oahu, got to go to Waikiki, beautiful beaches in Honolulu, a lot of traffic, but beautiful beaches. Maui was a little bit more slow paced, and I think I've been there twice now to go visit friends. So Maui, think of Maui as this lush, refreshing, beautiful, peaceful, natural geography. It's almost unrivaled. It's such a beautiful island. I mean, Hawaii overall is such a beautiful chain of islands. And naturally speaking, it's hard to imagine a more beautiful set of circumstances. But you take that same flower and you put it in an environment like Maui and it actually thrives. It grows. It's protected. It duplicates. It's just so healthy and strong. You take that flower, put it in the Mojave, and it wilts and shrivels up. You take that same flower and put it in Maui, and it thrives. This is what the Maui man is like. Maui husband, you ready? He's pleasant. He enjoys life. He has a sense of humor. He's a consistent provider. This doesn't mean millionaire again, but he's a consistent provider. He's steady. He's good at conflict resolution. He doesn't yell. He doesn't withdraw. He doesn't punish with his emotions. He's attractive to his wife. He takes care of himself physically. He's not self-focused and he's not wimpy. What do I mean by wimpy? His wife doesn't have to be his functional caretaker. She's got to be the rock in the relationship. That's the Maui man. He's spoken of in Ephesians 5, 25, 28, 29. He loves his wife. He nourishes and cherishes her. I want you to think of a Maui husband as a man who doesn't add additional heat to his wife. He is a reprieve from the heat. He creates a shade for her. So the Maui man is the shade from the pressures of life. The Mojave man is creating the pressures of life. Do you see the difference? A Mojave man is goading on his wife to find shade. You need to get help. You need to get yourself fixed. You need to deal with these things. But the Maui man says, let me protect you while you work on these things. Let me love you, nourish, and cherish you while you're personally struggling. Struggling. I'm making up words here. Can you teach me how to struggle? Struggling. If your wife is struggling, the Maui man says, here, let me send you. Do you want to go visit your mom and your sisters for a little bit? Can I take the kids out so you can have some time alone? Would it be helpful to have a spa day? What would be helpful for you? That's the Maui man. The Mojave man says, look, you need to get over this. Suck it up. Drive on. You need to get yourself fixed. That is not what we as men are called to do, according to Ephesians 5. We're to create the shade, not create the pressure. So your goal as a husband, if you're listening to this, and some of you are young men not married yet, your goal is to be a sub shade. Does that make sense? Think beach umbrella. We're in the pressures of life. You and I as husbands are creating a shade for our wife to exist underneath that shade. We're the sub shade. Christ is our wife's ultimate rock and refuge and strength. But you and I are a sub-rock and a sub-refuge. We're trying to be Christ-like toward our wives and create a refuge for them. So you guys may laugh at this statement, but it is true in part. Wives that are refreshed, they are the beautiful, vibrant, Gerber Daisy flower They're happy. They're jokey. They're serving in their local churches. They love their family. That wife is that way in part because of their husband's love for them. They're free. They're free. They feel so valued and loved and nourished. Some of you women, as you listen to this, your heart is racing when you hear that. It's pining for that type of love from your husband. That's the way he should be loving you. And for whatever reason, if that's not happening, this is what the standard of right looks like. And men, if you're married listening to this, or you want to be married listening to this, you think that you have a hand in nourishing, cherishing, and refreshing your wife. So let me say it conversely. If you're married and your wife is run down, she's stressed, she's got all these gastrointestinal issues, she's not happy, she's not ministering from a place of joy, you also have a hand in that. You have a hand in loving your wife so well that she is set free, she's vibrant. But you also have a hand in her not being set free, her being burdened. If you're creating additional heat in her life, then you are part of the problem in that way. So we have to shift from she's got to get it figured out to I am her protector. I love her. I want to create a space where she is vibrant. That is the Maui man. Oh, yeah. So let's do this. Let me take a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you ideas on how to cultivate what it looks like to be a Maui man. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Gifford in just a moment as he continues to discuss being a Mojave man and a Maui man. I want to recommend a resource that's available at FortisInstitute.org right now in the Fortis store, When People Are Big and God Is Small by Ed Welch. And it might seem odd to bring up a book about the fear of man when we're talking about marriages, but learning to prioritize God over people's opinions can transform how you love your spouse. Check out Ed Welch's When People Are Big and God Is Small right now in the Fortis store at FortisInstitute.org. And speaking of transformations, have you heard about what's going on at the Masters University? TMU is really doing some amazing things. Their mechanical engineering department has just opened a state-of-the-art lab. It's like Disneyland for tech enthusiasts. With church and ministry scholarships up to $20,000 a year, there's never been a better time to apply to TMU. As a matter of fact, there's no better place than TMU. Check out all of the details right now at masters.edu/transformed. Now, I also want to tell you about something happening in our neck of the woods. We've brought in some of the brightest minds in Christian thought to help you navigate this crazy, brave new world we're living in. And the best part is you can get a front row seat to all of this wisdom for free. All you have to do is become a Fortis Insider. That's right. Sign up to become a Fortis Insider and you'll get an email every single day in your email inbox with 7 new pieces of content that we release daily. We have an app, the Fortis Plus app, which is available also free. It gives you access to hundreds of hours of audio and video content. This is not a subscription model, folks. This is us wanting to equip the church to live in a brave new world. You can get all of the information right now at FortisInstitute.org. And I know what you're thinking. It sounds great, but how can I be a part of it? If you've been impacted in any way by any of the content that we've released over the years, and you're at a place in your life where you can join us as a gospel partner, meaning you're giving to your local church already and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt, we would love if you would pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. And you can get all of the details on what that would look like at FortisInstitute.org. And now let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford and his conversation on being a Mojave man or a Maui man. This is Transformed. Welcome back to Transformed.
We have a tendency to let our feelings be the engine that drives our lives. And when we do, despair is soon to follow.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Thank you, Jimmy. Thank you for the kind words and resources. Transform.org keeps growing. So if you haven't looked recently, there are more books, more resources. If you have ideas, even resource questions, many of you just email me. And so I will do my best to answer those. What's helpful to me is if you make those emails direct and short, I can usually get to those very quickly. So how do you be a Maui man? Oh, yeah. I'm doing the luau right now. You guys can't see it. When I talk about a Maui man, remember that I've said this is the man that is refreshing. He's peaceful. He's good at conflict resolution. He enjoys life. He's got a sense of humor. He's a consistent provider. He is the portrait of what it looks like to be a godly husband. We as men, we want to be that guy. We want to be that guy. How do we do that? Let me give you some practical thoughts, and then I'll insert one more for those of you that aren't married yet. So first of all, this is not a truism. This isn't a rote answer. First of all, for you to be a Maui husband, you need to love Jesus more than you love anything else, including your family. You want to be the best Maui man, go all in on your relationship with Christ. Full send for Jesus. When Jesus is being tested by lawyers and they say, what's the greatest commandment, Matthew 22, Jesus responds, verse 37, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. It's from the Shema. Love him with everything, everything. My wife is not worthy of my ultimate love. Does that sound very unromantic? Let me put that in a Valentine's Day. Dear Pookie Bear, you are not worthy of my... She would say the same thing about me, ultimately. We are not worthy of each other's ultimate love. Only Christ is. Prioritize this, men. Be in your devotions. Be in your Bible. Find a good hard copy Bible and just study that thing. Go to men's Bible studies. Go to men's conferences. In the morning is your time with Jesus before work. That's your devotional time. So we love you, family, but we need to be with Jesus first. He gets the first of our day. You know what may be surprising to you is how many of you have a wife that she wants you to do this more than anything else. You could say, hey, babe, I got a $30,000 raise this year. And she's like, oh, cool. Or you're like, hey, babe, you want to do family devotions together? And she's like, uh-huh, I've been waiting on you to ask for this. Yes, absolutely, I want to do family. She would rather you grow closer to Jesus than earn more money. Sounds like a nice lady if you're asking me. Go all in on your relationship with Christ, and that is the bedrock foundation of becoming a Maui husband. Second, as a leader, you see yourself in your home creating a space of relief and reprieve. I want you to think of your leadership in your home as a shade that you are bringing. When you're first married, it starts with a shade for you and your wife. And then after you continue to be married, then the Lord may bring along children, one, two, three, however many he blesses you with. They are now under that shade as well, that I as a husband am creating a shade. Maybe the umbrella is getting bigger, or maybe we're all just scooching in closer to each other. But I'm trying to create a shade, a space of relief and reprieve for my family. I don't want to be the heat in their life. That's the Mojave man, and he's a bum, or he's lame from birth, Acts 3:4. I don't want to be that Mojave man. I want to be a man that loves Jesus and creates a space of refreshment for my family. So how do you do that? Spiritual leadership, Ephesians 5:26. The way that Jesus loves his wife is promoting her holiness, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water of the word. Spiritual leadership. Men, some of you are never going to be an expositor. And some of you are never going to love the Greek texts, and that's totally okay. But you do need to cultivate a vibrant relationship with Christ. And when you do that, the natural overflow will be that you talk to your kids about it and you talk to your wife about it. Initiate times of family devotions. Find a time you're in the Word with your wife or with your wife and your kids, and you're in the Word, you're praying together, maybe even singing together. That's spiritual leadership. Cultivate that. 1 Timothy 5:8 says that if a man does not provide for his household, he is worse than an unbeliever. Men, the way that we create shade for our wives is through financial provisions and financial leadership. Again, some of you are double income homes. I have been a double income home. I have also been in a home where my wife supported me through grad school, and she was the primary breadwinner during that time. So some of you, it doesn't mean that you're going to get rid of your wife's income. Some of you, it doesn't mean that your wife can come home. But what it does mean is that you're taking the initiative to ensure that the financial needs of the home are met. That is your financial provisions. You want to help create a level of reprieve, then be good at your job. Be consistent in that. Move into a job that pays you enough to provide for your family. Sorry for the proverbial insult on the part-time GameStop guy. But the proverbial insult, it bears truth that if I am not earning a legitimate income to provide for my family, then I am going to create more of a burden on my wife and I'm creating more heat. Some of our careers, we make the decision simply because it's what's best for our family, not because we enjoy it the most. And it's the most comfortable thing, but we want to be a good financial provider. So we're not covetous. We're not trying to be millionaires. We're trying to ensure the needs of our family are met. So that is financial provisions. You create shade through being a consistent provider. Consider this one. You create shade by providing an emotional understanding. 1 Peter 3:7 says to live with your wife in an understanding way, showing honor to her as the weaker vessel. You recognize that you're not gruff. You're not mean. You're not insensitive. If you want to be gruff with anybody, be gruff with your buddies at work, but not at home. And as soon as you get home, I want you to become Mr. Ooey Gooey. I listen. I care. I value the way you're feeling and how you're interpreting things. I'm going to turn off ESPN. I'm going to put my phone down so I can be a better listener. That's this idea of emotional understanding, supporting her emotionally. Create a shade for her by being good at listening to understand, living with her in an understanding way. So how do you do this? You create shade through spiritual leadership. You create shade by financial provisions and consistent provisions, not millionaire status, but just consistent provisions. She's never worried that you guys are going to have to move out. She's never worried that the car is going to get repossessed. Emotional support. You're understanding. You're honoring her. Last one, you're fun. This is always interesting to me. You're fun. What did you do to earn the relationship with your wife? Most of you are not in a pre-arranged marriage, right? You grew up knowing you were going to marry that person because your parents picked them for you. Oh, hey, Barbara. Well, I guess it's that time now. No, you are earning that love and that relationship with her. How'd you do that? You came up with date ideas? Oh, yeah. You took her to a show? Oh, yeah. You had a cool car. You guys went cruising around town doing burnouts. Oh, yeah. You were fun. Some of you need to go back to what it was like when you earned that love from your wife, which is that you're fun again. You're fun. You're spontaneous. You don't just come home and plop on the couch and play with your iPad. Come on. How boring is that? A Mojave man does what is most comfortable to him, but a Maui man actually dies to himself and cultivates an atmosphere that's fun and enjoyable. It doesn't have to cost money, but he says, hey, babe, let's go to the park. I thought we could just go and enjoy the sunset this evening. Jackpot. Hey, free movie on Amazon Prime. You want to watch it together? Yeah, jackpot. So he is cultivating fun, and that is adding to the shade and the reprieve. Fun. Think of dating. Think of courting. Whatever term you used, how did you earn that relationship with her? Go back to some of that. So if you're a single man and you're like, yo, Dr. Gifford, I want to be married. How do I work on this now? Then I would say, be these things now. If you're not a spiritual leader right now, you have no spiritual life apart from your girlfriend, then guess what happens when you get married? You're going to be the same person. If you're flaky with your work now, guess what's going to happen when you get married? You're going to be flaky with your work then. If you're not a great listener, you're bad at being emotionally supportive to your friends now, what do you think is going to happen when you get married? True again. So cultivate these things now, and when you get married, the same will be true for you. It doesn't mean you need to do this, go find some random lady and practice this on, but be this type of guy. Be this type of guy. Men, love your wife well by trying to be a place of refreshment, not trial. Be a shade. Be a refreshment. Be a Maui man and cultivate a heart understanding that says, no, I want to create a shade where she thrives. I don't want to be a man who adds to the pressures of her life. So let me finish. We're going to be done for today. Let me finish with this. And I am going to pray. But before I pray, I want to encourage you. I've got to chat with many of you. I got back from NorCal this past weekend doing a conference. And you guys have just been so gracious and encouraging me. As I pray for you guys, would you guys pray for me as well? Just pray that I would be faithful and that I would teach God's word well. Pray that I would stay humble in this process and that I would be a man who is pure. I don't want to blow all this up. So Transformed is being used in such great ways. I don't want to mess it up. So just pray that God would use us. And if you think about it, I would really covet those prayers. So let me pray for you and we'll be done for today. Lord, we come to you and none of us dreamed of being a Mojave man, but some of us are. Some of us men, we had a dad who was a Mojave man, and he was just life-sucking to be around, just burdensome and awful. Help us to cultivate a deep love for your son, Jesus. His humility, his attitude, his servant spirit, his strength, his perseverance, his rejection of materialism. Lord, help us as men to cultivate that so that it would overflow into blessing the women in our lives, in particular our wives. Help us to be good dudes that love Jesus, and may that create a space for our wives to just flourish and thrive. Use that to build up your church. Use that to strengthen families, I pray. Help us to be this. We ask for your help, and we do this in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.